Good morning. Take your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, and we're going to read some there, and then we're going to look at some other verses in the New Testament, and then we'll finish back up in the Gospel of John. Dealing this morning with a famous, familiar passage of Scripture. It's probably been preached and taught a lot out of, but it's the foot washing passage. Anybody need their feet washed this morning? All right, here we go. All right, Bobby said he needs it, so somebody who wants to volunteer. All right. You know, there are churches that still practice this based right out of this passage. We're going to talk a little bit about that and talk about what this was talking about here and those kind of things. And, but really what we're dealing with here this morning in our Sunday school lesson will simply be why serving is such a great opportunity. Now, most folks have, we get a bad idea sometimes about serving. You know, it's kind of like, if you think about it today, you look at what's happening in our country, what's happened over the last generation, so to speak. Now this is not my generation. Look back to this generation, and I know it's not mine, but World War II, that era, that generation, back then it was a privilege for people to serve for their country, right? Some of you are of that era. Some of you remember those days. You remember maybe your parents were servicemen and women during that time. But, you know, back then people considered it a great honor to serve not only just their country, but their fellow man, their neighbor. Just in general, service was a great thing. And then we kind of lost that. My generation, I was born in 77, so that lets you know where my generation is and falls. We come along and we became a generation of self. The draft was discontinued, which I was kind of glad for that. Why? Because I didn't want to serve, right? Lots of folks don't want to serve, these days. And rightfully so. There's a lot of controversy in serving. I mean, for years, when I grew up, this used to be on all of the police cars to protect and to what? And to serve, that's what policemen are. They are a great service to the community. But nowadays, who wants to be that? You try to serve, you get put on YouTube, and next thing you know, everything you do is publicized and criticized and all those things. But really, when you think about it and you put it back into the church, we're in the same mess. Our generation, two or three generations ago, church service, used to, it was, you had way more servants than needed. Nowadays, we struggle sometimes to find teachers. We struggle to find, workers in the church to do things. You say, why? Because we have become a generation that's not really wanting to serve very much. And so this morning in our Sunday school lesson, that's what we're going to do. We're going to study some about a particular passage where Jesus did something. But we're going to look this morning at the why serving is such a great opportunity. So before we get started, we'll go to the Lord and we'll pray. Lord God, we thank you for the day. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning in Sunday school. Thank you for all these folks that have taken their time to come, Lord God, an hour before the service to trying to learn something from your word. Lord God, we do pray that you might open our hearts and minds to your scripture this morning. Lord God, that you would help us to say the things that are needful. Lord God, that we would, the Holy Spirit could meet here among us today in this Sunday school hour, also later in the preaching hour. And do pray that you might just deal with our hearts, Lord God, from your word, that you might be glorified, we might be instructed or reproved or corrected, Lord God, in any way which you seem fit to deal with us. But Lord, we do thank you for this time. We pray, Lord, for our Sunday school teachers next door and in the back. Lord God, the individual classes that are being done this morning, we ask that you would bless them in learning and being instructed from your word once again. And we thank you for thy word. Help us today with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in John chapter 13, this is a great chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. And of course, as you well know, those of you that like to study biblical numbers, it's number 13, right? And you say, that's not a good number, right? Well, that's where you're going to find an instruction on service. You say, but notice also here, this is where you find Jesus telling who his betrayer would be, identifying him, these things there. Look in verse number 1. But before you get to all that, before you get to the illustration on service, and before you get to Judas and his betrayal and all those things, and even Jesus foretells of Peter's denial in this chapter, before you get to that, you start with a great verse in chapter number 1. I mean, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Now, you know, to me, that's one of the great verses in the Bible. You say, why? Well, because he knew that Peter would deny him. And yet the Bible says he loved him unto the end. He knew that all of them would forsake him. He knew that Judas would betray him. He knew everything that was going to happen. And yet the Bible says he loved them unto the end. And you know, that's the same way he does with us. I mean, he knows that you're going to let him down. He knows that you're going to disappoint him. He knows that we're going to sin. He knows that sometimes you're probably going to deny him when you should speak up for him. He knows all those things about us. And yet the Bible says, just like with them, just like with his disciples here, he loves us, his born-again children, he loves us until the end. And then notice here, then he goes into this where he washes the disciples' feet. The Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet." You know, now, you just got to appreciate Peter. The more you study him, the more he was one of those, his mouth was moving, but his brain was never in gear. And, it just always worked out that way. And, but God worked with him. God done some great things with him there. But notice here, verse 8. "And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Well, Peter quickly changes his tune. "Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If it means having a part with you, Lord, then just wash whatever you want to wash." And that's a good attitude there. But Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? Know what I have done to you. Ye call me Master and Lord, and say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought to also wash one another's feet." You washed anybody's feet lately? See, you got to be careful. Everything in the Gospels, everything even Jesus commanded his disciples, may directly not be commanded unto you. And may not be commanded unto me. We don't have feet washing. Now, I know churches, and they may not be any here in Texas, but where I'm from in Alabama, I know churches that practice this literally, based strictly on this. Well, if Jesus commanded it, then we need to do it. And they do it. They have foot washing services. Now, you say, boy, I'm hope I'm sick that night, right? Yes, sir. You know, I mean, that's just something nobody wants to do. But it shows you the illustration here of service. And so Jesus says, as verse 4, "I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you." Verse 16, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If we know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Now, we're going to stop there, but let's take a minute and let's look at some of the things in the Bible. Now, I realize you say, well, we don't have literal feet washing services, praise the Lord, at Bible Believers Baptist Church. But what? So what do we get from this passage then? How do we apply it to us? Well, it's a great parable. It's not, I want to call it a parable, but it's not, so you'll have to bear with me. I keep wanting to say that, and I know it's not. It's a great illustration. That's the better word. It's a great illustration of service and the opportunity that we have to be a servant, not only just to one another, but in service of the Lord. Now, I want you to stick a marker or something here in your Bible. We're in Sunday school, so we're going to look. We're going to do a chain reference. Let's look at some things that the Bible says. So, let's look at some passages that do doctrinally talk about us and that deal with us in regards to salvation and serving the Lord. And then we're going to come back here and get some things out of this passage. So, first place I want you to go is look over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, let's look at verse 9. Let's see some of the things this morning that the Word of God says in regards to service. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, in verse number 9, Paul is dealing with the church of Thessalonica here, and he's just given an introduction, a salutation to them here. Now, notice, we're just going to read verse number 9, but we're in the middle of a context here. And notice it says, "For they themselves," talking about they that have been saved here, these folks of Thessalonica, the church here at Thessalonica, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned from gods to serve the living and true God." Now, what that verse is saying is, Paul's talking to the Thessalonians here, or the Thessalonians, and he says, look, you know, when you got, before you were saved, he said you were serving something else, right? He said, when you got saved, you turned from those idols to serve the true God, right? Now, what do we get out of that this morning for us? Every person in this room serves something. Now, you can say, I don't want to serve. You can say, I hate work. I hate being a servant. I hate all those things. But you still serve something. See, every person serves something. And we either serve the world, or Satan, or ourself, or we serve God. Now, until you get saved, you're going to have a hard time serving God. But even after salvation, guess what? You can either choose to serve God, or you can serve something else. You can serve yourself. You can serve. Look, I'll give you an illustration of that. You say there's Christians that serve themselves. Sure, they serve themselves trying to serve God. This thing has to be done very carefully, and we're going to look at something on that. But notice, back up if you would, if you want to see something, look at Romans chapter 16. Now, you say, what do most men serve? Well, most men, even lost people. What do lost people serve out there? Well, you know, I realize you say, oh, they're serving the devil because they're not serving God. Well, I don't think they're probably in their living rooms this morning with a satanic figurine or statue having a service to Satan. Now, there may be some doing that. But, you know, I mean, the average lost person's not. You know, the average lost person's got any sense is in the bed still, right? I mean, think about it. If some of you, because you know, take your halos off for a minute. You know that if you were, you know, not saved, you'd have probably had a pretty good time last night and you'd still be recuperating here this morning, right? You'd be in bed, right? You know, that's where, you know. Now, Sunday morning, you'd be up doing something. Maybe you'd be hunting. Maybe you'd be fishing. You know, maybe you'd be doing something, but you'd be serving something, right? Now, so everybody serves something. Look at Romans 16. What do most of us serve? For the most part, if you serve nothing else, you serve your own belly. Say, why? Well, if you're going to eat, you got to go to work. If you're going to put food in the belly, you're going to have to get some money somewhere. Now, our government has done a great job in trying to elude that problem. But the Bible says, if a man doesn't work, then he shouldn't eat. So, you know, where and again, well, everything's trying to go contrary to the Word of God. But you serve something. Now, verse 17, "Now I besought for leave the hearts of the simple." So they're serving themselves. See, there's a verse right there. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to serve something. You might as well get that in your mind. So, you know what? This thing of service, you can't dodge it. You know, now you can dodge the draft. Well, you used to dodge the draft. We don't have the draft no more. You know, but nonetheless, you can dodge a lot of things, but you can't dodge service. You might dodge some work, you might dodge a lot of things, but you are going to serve. Now, take your Bibles, look over in Hebrews chapter number 9. Now, as a result of salvation, so first off, we just saw a simple passage that said, you're going to serve something. Now, in Hebrews chapter 9, we learn that as a result of salvation, we can serve the living and true God. In Hebrews chapter number 9, look at verse number 14. Hebrews chapter number 9, look at verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's talking about after salvation. The blood of Jesus Christ, the same blood that saves us, it's able to purge our conscience that we might be able to leave off some dead works and serve the living and true God, right? So we're just looking, we're laying some groundwork here, just looking at some verses that prove, hey, New Testament, born again, children of God, we can serve and we should serve, all right? Now, but you got to be careful, because just as we saw that illustration, you know, we used it as, you know, just to show that you can serve yourself. But you know what? There are Christians today who are not careful about how they serve God, and they're doing more damage than they are in any good anywhere. And look at this verse over in Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 28. You'll find another verse about service here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Uh-oh. See, now there's a right way to serve God and a wrong way to serve God. See, I mean, think about it. Most everything Christians do, they say they're doing for God. I mean, you ever heard somebody get up and preach and say, boy, I'm going to preach this morning just for the sake because I love to hear my own voice. Now, the preacher may very well be doing that, but he's not going to tell you that. He's going to pretend he's doing it for God if he's not really doing it for God, right? I mean, we're not going to go, you know, I mean, that's where we are. There's an acceptable way to serve God. There's a non-acceptable way to serve God. That's why the rest of this verse says that we may serve God acceptably with what? With reverence and godly fear. Now, we're not really dealing, the Sunday school lesson this morning is not on how to serve. I mean, you know, we may throw some things out about ways you can serve, but that's not where we're at. We're looking at the opportunity of service. You know, just the opportunity and why it's such a great opportunity to serve this morning. But right there, you see something very important. Now, the modern day theologians, the modern day teaching is, hey, there is no such thing as fear God. When the Bible says fear God, it just means have reverence for God. Well, there's a great verse against that because they're put in the same thing. I mean, they're put in the same verse and they're different. If you're going to serve God, you got to serve Him with reverence and godly fear. They're not the same. Fear is fear. It means what it means. It means what it says, you know. I never will forget I was in high school when that slogan came out, no fear. No fear, you know. Dumbest thing in the world. When I played football in high school, that slogan got real popular and everybody took that sticker and put it on their helmet. And I thought, if you had no fear, you wouldn't wear the helmet. You know, I mean, doesn't that make sense? I mean, I'm going to put a no fear sticker on my helmet because, you know, why do you wear a helmet? To protect my head. It just makes no sense. But notice here, Christians have adopted that today, no godly fear. And that gets you in a whole lot of mess. But so if we're going to serve God, we have to serve acceptably and we have to serve with reverence and fear. Now, not only do we do, not only in this service is our service toward God, look back, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 5. And I'm just giving you some chain reference here, verses, you know, some things for about service. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Now, as a part of our service, we not only serve God, but we also are to serve one another. Look in Galatians chapter number 5. Once again, we're in doctrine here that is directly aimed at the church age. Now, we have liberty through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not under the law. That's what this chapter is dealing with in this particular part. And we have some great blessings from not being under the law, right? And we also have some great liberty. We don't have to worry about losing our salvation. You say, well, what if I decide I don't want to serve God? Well, you're going to lose a lot of stuff, but you're not going to lose your salvation. And that's a great liberty that we have. Now, in verse 13, notice what it says. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. See, don't use, I mean, just because you can do it, don't mean you should do it. You know, that Paul said over there, he said, all things are expedient, but all things edify not. You know, there's a lot of things that's not necessarily wrong for Christians. You still shouldn't do them. Why? Because it's an occasion to the flesh. Now, notice here, the Bible says we use not our liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love, what? Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Now, there's some that we're not dealing with this great doctrinal teaching here this morning, but there's a lot in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love the Lord, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Boy, there's service. You know what? Let's go back to those illustrations we were talking about at the beginning of the Sunday school. Why do people serve their country? Because it's not about them. You know, people went off and fought wars. Why? So the people at home could enjoy peace and prosperity and a way of life that was being threatened, right? See, that's loving one another. Now, you think about this. Now, it gets interesting, right? There's only one man, you know, there's only one man that fulfilled the law. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Bible says, I am not come to destroy the law. Excuse me, Jesus said, I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Now, what does this say? The Bible says, for the law, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I realize if you break the Ten Commandments up, there's some that are directed at God, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, but the rest of them are aimed really at your neighbor. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's manservant or maidservant or ox or ass or wife or any of those things. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. All those things, that's directed at somebody else. Because that's the whole key of the word serve, is it's always directed somewhere else. That's why we have trouble with it. Now, notice here, so we're to serve one another. Now let me ask you something. For those of you that have been saved a good while, does service have some benefits? Sure. Is service a tremendous headache? Sure. Be honest. You know it is. What is me and the brother in the back this morning, he was talking about it, his job, he has to deal with the public. Now, I don't know how many of you have a job where you have to deal with the public, but that changes everything. Right? I mean, boy, you know, I mean, sometimes you just say, I'd be willing to chunk everything, make $5 an hour, not have to deal with the public. You know, and then reality sets in, you think about $5 an hour, and you're like, oh, no, I better learn to deal with the public, right? But, you know, dealing with the public, that's a hard thing. You know, and I was kidding him. I said, well, that's what all preachers say. Preaching would be the greatest job in the world if it wasn't for people. You know, but then again, take away the people, you don't got any pay. There is no job, right? I mean, so you see, you can't service, that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, there's some fun things about being in the military. I mean, I imagine it's pretty cool to blow stuff up and get paid to do it, you know? I imagine it'd be pretty cool to fly an F-16 around. You know, I mean, not that I will ever get to do that, but, you know, I imagine that'd be pretty cool. But yet there's a lot of rules and regulations and restrictions. There's a lot of headache to service, right? What do we got to do in that service? Well, look at Colossians. You're in Galatians, look at Colossians. Say, are we ever going back to John? Sure, we got plenty of time. Colossians chapter number 3. See, you're going to get discouraged if you serve. But here's your motivation. We're to serve one another, but guess what? It ain't about one another. See, if you focus on the results of your service, from whether it be people, whether it be a Sunday school class, whether it be your job, if you focus on people and the results you're getting from people, you will always, always get discouraged in your service. The goal is to remember who I'm really serving. Look at Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Your rewards come from God. Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. Hey, sometimes when you're in the ministry, you get some physical rewards and you get some things down here. But that's not where your motivation is to come from. Your motivation, your realization is, you gotta realize, hey, I serve the Lord. My rewards come from the Lord. You may teach a Sunday school class and never get one positive result out of that this side of heaven. But you got to remember, the rewards come from God. Look at that verse. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. Why? For ye serve the Lord Christ. You know what I do when I get aggravated with you people? I got to remember, I'm serving you, but I'm really serving the Lord. You know what you got to do when you get aggravated with me? You got to remember who you're serving. See, that's our service. It's really to the Lord. And that's, you know, if we just do that, that'd solve most church problems right there all the way across the country. But notice, and then you don't have to look this one up, but I'll read it for you. But one more I'll give you for your list since you're making notes there. In Revelation chapter 22, you know, you might as well get used to serving, because one day it's going to be a perpetual, eternal thing. In Revelation chapter 22, in verse number 3, when it's talking about the new Jerusalem there and the new earth, the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and those things that God brings down, notice it says there in verse 3, it says, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. See, it'll be eternal one day. Now, let's go back to John and let's look at why we have such a great opportunity in this thing called service. I've given you some verses, you know, we've shown, hey, you're going to serve something. Hey, as a result of salvation, you get to serve the Lord. But you know what? If you're going to serve God, you got to do it with reverence, and you got to do it with fear, and you got to do it acceptably unto the Lord. Hey, you know what? It's going to be discouraging. It's going to bring some heartache. It's going to bring trials and affliction upon you. But you know what? You got to remember, I serve Christ, not who I'm serving literally here on this earth. And then you got to realize, hey, you know what? One day we're going to serve. We might as well get used to it. Now, why is service such a great opportunity? Well, you know, looking for where we at in John chapter 13, let's look at the illustration here of Jesus in washing the disciples' feet. In John chapter 13, let's look there at verse 14. I'm going to give you five reasons that serving is such a great opportunity. Five reasons that service is such a great opportunity. And if I could find John 13, that sure would help us out here, wouldn't it? I think it's somewhere right there it is. All right, now look at something. Now look at verse number 4. That He is Jesus. He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. The very first opportunity, the first reason that service is such a great opportunity is because it gives you an opportunity to put yourself aside. That is the greatest thing that we can do. Because how many of you ever heard, just get yourself out of the way? You know why we can't serve God? Because we won't get ourselves out of the way. You know, I mean, that's what Moses, I've been working on something there with Moses and those two rocks that he hit. You know, and it's all about Moses being in the way. But, you know, that's beside the point. I don't want to jump over into that, but it's there. If we could just get ourselves out of the way. Now, look at something here. Now, where this becomes really important, you say, yeah, but preacher, I have got so many important things, my job, and there are so many things that I need to do. I mean, it's funny. You know, you ask people to do stuff around the church all the time. Oh, no, I got this to do. I got that to do. I'm too busy. I can't serve here. I can't do this because I need to do this and all those things. And I realize no man can serve two masters. And I realize, as Bob Jones Sr. used to say, he said, duties never conflict. And you know, God's not going to say serve over here and serve over here at the same time. He's not going to, you can't do that. God's not going to put you in a position where you can't fulfill both. Duties never conflict. But there's a lot of times where we could do things, but you know what it would require? It would require putting self aside. Now, look at something here. Look at verse 3. Why does this become so important? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. He's the greatest person in the universe. He was about to have to deal with the crucifixion. And He was about to have to deal with being betrayed. He was about to have to do with that spiritual warfare there before He got on the cross. And even enduring what He would have to endure on the cross. And yet He said, you know what? I'll take time to serve. Look at this verse. And that He was come from God and went to God. Boy, how important is that? You say, well, I can't help you, brother. I got to go here and I got to do that. I'm an important man. That's the reason most of us don't want to serve, don't want to help, don't want to do things, is because it would require too much of my time. Right? I mean, that's, but it's a great opportunity. You know what? Every person in this room fights that. Every person does. You know why? So that's why service is such a great opportunity, because it'll give you a opportunity to say, you know what? I got to put myself aside. You say, well, somebody asked you to come over and help. Well, I got to cut grass today. Well, say, well, my grass may get tall. My yard won't look like I like for it to look. Well, maybe somebody really needs some help. See, there's all kind of illustrations for that. But that's the opportunity to serve. Notice here, Jesus Christ done that. So number one, it's an opportunity. The Bible says in Philippians chapter number 2, it says, look not every man on his own things, right? But on the things of others. You ever been willing to let something go bad? You know, and I realize there's a balance here. There's a balance you got to have. You can't neglect your house can't fall down. I mean, you know, if your roof has blown off, I wouldn't be over helping the neighbor. I'd be putting my own roof back on. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't expect anything unreasonable. But there's times when we could let a few things slide to do some service. Not only for others, as Galatians said, but really and truly, as Colossians says, we could do it for Christ. Because that's the real purpose and that's the real goal. Now notice here, so it's a great opportunity to put yourself aside. Number two, look at verse number 7. Now, Jesus here in washing the disciples' feet, Jesus answered and said unto him, talking about Peter, He said, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Service is one of the greatest opportunities to learn. You will learn more by serving than any other way. Say, what do I mean? Now, I realize we don't expect you to get saved today and next month be teaching a Sunday school class. We understand that. You need to learn some things. You need to grow. You need to be in the basics. But you know what? Most people say, well, I don't know enough. Guess what? Until you start teaching, until you start serving, you'll never truly learn. The teacher will always, always learn more than the student. Say, why? Number one, because student don't care half the time what you're teaching. Right? You know, you have to, but you got to study. Why? Because when you start studying, you start thinking about, well, what if a kid asked me this question? Man, I don't know what to tell him. I better look and find an answer. Or when you're teaching, little kids especially, they ask the craziest questions. You know, the college and career kids, they're in the back. John came to me a couple weeks ago. He had a question. I been in the ministry 13, 14, I don't know, 15, I don't even know how many years now. Been in church all my life. I had never thought of the question that John asked me. But you know why he asked the question? He asked the question because of something he was doing. He had never thought to ask the question if he hadn't have been doing something in the first place. See, service is the greatest opportunity to learn something new. People say, oh, I don't want to learn. I'm happy where I'm at because, boy, if I serve. Exactly. That's why people don't know what they really should know. That's why the Bible says over in Hebrews, we looked at it Wednesday night, when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the things which be the principles of God. Because we're not willing to serve. Service is a great opportunity to learn. Hey, I mean, you know what? Those of you that served in the military, didn't you learn something? If nothing else, you learned how to get up, how to be dressed properly, how to make a bed, and how, because you say why? Because they the inspections, right? I mean, you may not, but most of you learn, you know. I mean, some guys you say they learn some you know bad thing. I remember when I was in college, we had this guy, and he was probably. Oh, man, he looked like he was in his 60s, and I was in my freshman year of college, and he was coming back to school, and he was on his GI grant, you know, and man, I mean, this guy, he looked like one of these guys that would, you know, be barricaded up in the hills of Montana with all this stuff, and we had to do a how-to speech. It was just a simple deal. We were supposed to write a paper. It wasn't a speech, I'm sorry. It was a paper, and she was going to pick some to speak. We had to do a simple how-to. Pick anything you know how to do, and teach and explain it. Well, his got rejected because it was how to make C4 from local components at your hardware store. And I'm like, I know where he learned that. You know, I mean, you know where he learned. You see what I mean? You may not learn good things. You may not learn, you know, you may learn some bad things, but you're going to learn. Service is such a great opportunity to learn. Jesus says, what I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. You know what? That's the greatest. You say, you ever, some of you that's really tried to serve God, you ever say, boy, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. Why am I serving God? I don't have a clue. Hey, join the club. I know less today than I knew when I started. Hey, sometimes I go home and tell Shannon, I don't have a clue what I am doing. Say, wow, that's our leadership. Yeah, that's your leadership around here. I know you parents feel the same way. I deal with your kids. You have to feel that way. But you know what? Hey, you learn along the way. I mean, how many of you parents, I mean, boy, you had it, when that child was born, you had it figured out. I've read every book. I've got a plan. I've got a strategy. I know exactly how to deal with this child. But when you get in the action of serving that child, boy, all that stuff goes out the window, don't it? I mean, it's funny, but that's why. Because service is a great opportunity to learn. And that's what Jesus said. Now, look at verse number 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? They're fixing to learn. See, God may not teach it right at the moment you want it, but he will teach it. Now, number 3, look in verse number 15. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. See, here's the thing. Service is a great opportunity to be an example. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 10, what is the verse? I think I got it written here in my notes. Yeah, verse 45. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for all, or many. I forget which way it's worded there. But you see, service, you see, That's what Jesus did here. He showed him the example. Look at the verse. Look there, he says, what does he say? I've given you an example. Look back up there. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's. Back up to 13. Ye call me Master and Lord and say, well, so, for I am. You know what? One of the greatest job opportunities is when you've got a boss that's willing to get down there in the dirty part of the business and work with you and teach you and instruct you, instead of sitting up in his office and saying, that's not my problem. He's not willing to serve. See, you know, that's the thing. It's an example. But you know what? We can use this, guys, as an example to the lost people. Now, most of you, you probably remember Brother Larry and Miss Judy there. That's they were missionaries in Montreal, and they're now off the field. But, you know, they were saved as a direct result. Some people had visited, but they didn't want to go to church. So a couple ladies got together and baked a cake and left it on their doorstep. Now you say, that's service. You say, well, I thought we should preach the gospel. Yeah, sometimes maybe you should just give cakes. I mean, seriously. You know what? When you take time to do things, it costs you. That's putting self aside. But you know what? Lost people see that. Because I'm going to tell you, if you want to show a difference in this world, then don't serve yourself. That'll blow people's minds. Because we are in a generation. You want to make a difference at church? Show up and serve. That'll blow most pastors' mind. Why? Because we're in a generation of, I'm too busy, I'm too important, and I don't have the desire to serve. It's all about us. But notice here, it's a great opportunity to be an example. That's what the kids need to see. They need to see an example of service, and that's what Jesus showed. Number four, it's an opportunity to do great things. Look there in verse number 16. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. You know what? Some of the greatest things that ever get done are done by servants. They're not done by the leaders. You know, me and Shannon, we went to Fredericksburg this week at the beginning of the week for a few days, and she was out of school for a week, and we went up there and we went through the Admiral Nimitz World War II Museum. And some of you may have done that up there in Fredericksburg, and I was pretty impressed with the way they've got it laid out and everything. But you know, it was funny because, you know, there was a key focus on Admiral Nimitz, of course, and his role. But you know what? I mean, yes, he was the SINCPAC, as they call it, commander, and he was in charge of everything. But you know who were out there doing the great deeds? The simple servants. Simple people of service. They were the ones that got to accomplish the great. You say, yeah, but he gets credit. He may get credit for the plan. Somebody's got to pull it off. You know what? In service, you can get to be a part of some great things. You say, what are they? That's hard to say. Who knows? But that's why service is such a great opportunity. And the last thing on our list, look at what Jesus says here. It's interesting that he put this where he did. Verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you what? Do them. You know, there's a satisfaction, there's a happiness that comes in service that comes no other place. Say, why is the suicide rates where they are? Why are people so miserable? Why is there such problems in our society? The Bible says, Jesus said something plain there. Happy are ye, or if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know, we became a society that quit serving. I mean, how many of you know your neighbor? We don't even know our neighbor. We don't want to know our neighbors. Now, and I realize there are some reasons, some neighbors it's good not to know. I understand all that. But you see what it done? It became a society of miserable people. Why? Because Jesus said, happy are ye if you do these things. Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for all the many blessings. We pray that we might take some encouragement from your illustration of service with washing the disciples' feet. Help us to see this morning, Lord God, what a great opportunity it is to serve and all the things that can be accomplished if we'll just be willing to put ourselves aside and serve in a way that's pleasing unto you. We thank you for it. Bless the rest of our day. Bless the services. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.